The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
I need to put on my glasses. Anywhere I enter, I have something inside me. I have something inside me that can cause changes to happen. It's natural. You don't have to see. If you put sugar in your mouth, do you pray for the sugar to be sweet? Talk to me. If you put sugar in your mouth, do you pray for the sugar to be sweet? Why? There is something inside the sugar that naturally makes it sweet. The spirit you are given is the spirit that causes changes to happen wherever you enter. That's why you must not be afraid. So the word dunamis is the word force. The word dunamis is the word miraculous power. You have miraculous power. You have ability. You have abundance. You have strength. All this is describing one word, dunamis. Fear will not even allow us to agree, to accept that you have abundance. Reason, the legal ownership shows you don't have abundance. The legal ownership says you have abundance. But the experiential ownership says you don't have abundance. Inasmuch as you have abundance, you can't see it in your hand. You can't see it in your pocket. So it's difficult to convince your mind that you should not be afraid of poverty. It's difficult to convince your body that you should not be afraid of sickness, because the mind reasons with what it sees. So what we are now going to do is to see how we can retrain our mind to start reasoning from the world of the unseen. This is what you have. You have power, you have strength, you have abundance, you have ability, you have miraculous power dwelling inside you. And this power that is dwelling inside you is inside there to cause changes wherever you find yourself. It is given to you by your Father in heaven. So he said you don't have the spirit of timidity. You don't have the spirit of cowardice. You don't have the spirit of lack of courage. You have ability, you have abundance, you have force, you have strength. Now, those things you have can cause changes to happen everywhere you go. So we're going to find out how to employ it and make it to happen. Let's go back to fear. Fear makes you so anxious over the uncertainties of tomorrow. Fear will say, are you sure you'll marry tomorrow? Fear will say, you're getting to 30. There's still no husband. Fear will say, this one that you have found now, why don't you sleep with the person so that you can have assurance? The uncertainty, am I talking to someone? Am I talking? The uncertainties of tomorrow, fear will amplify it. Fear will say, look at that, your friend, he just bought a house. Look at that one, he just bought a car. And fear will convince you that because all those people have those things, it may not get to your hand on time. Fear will tell you that you're getting old, you're useless. Fear will tell you, as long as you are not like the Joneses, you are not good enough. Fear will make you anxious about the uncertainties of tomorrow. Fear will make you tired. Fear will make you irritable. Even when your children talk to you, you can't have a good relationship with your children because of fear. When you are afraid, it will be difficult to sleep at night. You can't relax. Your mind will race to the past. Your mind will race to the future. Your muscles will be tensed. There's something about fear. How come fear doesn't show me the things I have done well? I remember when I was writing an exams, and I couldn't pass that exams. I had only one dream. I would dream. I would see myself in that exams. Before I finished writing the exams, they'll come and collect the papers from me. If that doesn't happen, it will be that I'm not prepared. I always saw myself writing that exams, I'm not passing. Writing that exams, I'm not passing. Writing that exams, I'm not passing in the dream. And the more I saw that, the more I believed in my natural mind that I will not be able to pass that exams because of that dream. And I didn't do anything about the dream. You see, all the devil does is he finds something in your body and he begins to amplify it. So, you're a woman, you feel a little pain in your breast. The enemy will say, That's when the news media will begin to show you so many things about breast cancer, and fear will amplify. Am I talking to someone? You're a man. You are feeling something in your prostrate. That's when the enemy will begin to show you different kinds of devil self, no get sense at all. That's when you begin to hear bad news. There are some television programs I don't watch. I don't watch because if I watch it, it will turn into a dream of the night. Any program they say, they are catching armed robbers, they are catching kidnappers, then they will narrate 4, 5, or 6. You see, before you know, you use it to start renewing your mind. You wake up in the night, you go and check your house 3, 4 times if you locked it. That's how the devil behaves with fear. Say, I will not be afraid. Say, I will not be afraid. Say, I will not be afraid. You go for a scan, to go and do scan. Fear will tell you that this, in fact, the result that is going to come now, is the what? Does this happen to anybody? Is the what result on earth? You write exams. Fear will tell you these exams. In fact, nobody passed. I remember when we were in University of Benin, the first lecturer that came to teach us, he said, welcome new students, I want to let all of you know that in this department, nobody makes first class. Just forget about making first class at all. Nobody makes, now they told us that the only person that made first class died. So all of us, I said, please, we don't want to make first class if it does. You see, fear is bad. If you are the only one at home in your house, you are the only one, your children have gone to school, you can just hear a sound. Something can just fall in the kitchen. Bah. The enemy will not even say, it's rat. They don't say, ghost, because it's in your house. The spirit of death is in. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So you must watch your mind. No wonder the Bible says, guide your heart with all diligence. Out of it flows the issues of life. You go for your friend's wedding. The place was decorated as if it is heaven. You sit down, you look around, this one is married. You look around, this one came with 2 children. You look around, this one's husband, they came out from SUV. The devil will tell you your own is finished. He said, all of you, in fact, in class, you were even the scholar. You can see that nobody who write well. So you must guide your heart, because that's where fear operates. Am I talking to someone tonight? Am I talking to someone this night? Fear can paralyze you to the point that you cannot carry out your heart desires. The things you want to do. As a student, you're in class, you have a question to ask. The teacher taught, they didn't do like this, do like that. Stand up and ask question now. Fear will tell you that if you raise your hand, the teacher will shout on you. Or if you raise your hand, you will say the wrong thing. Are we together? I don't know where we are still together. Fear can make you buy something you didn't prepare to buy. They are selling the thing. This one says, I will buy. Because of fear of rejection, you buy on credit. Meanwhile, you are still owing Adam's Ashwebi, you haven't paid. Okonkwo's Ashwebi, you still haven't paid. Mbeke's Ashwebi, you still haven't paid. You bought this one out of fear of rejection. Even fear can make you read a bad course, the course you didn't plan to read. Fear can make you marry another person's husband. Fear can make you date someone you don't want to date. Fear can make you enter a relationship you didn't prepare for. Even as a married woman, out of fear, you can begin to date a boy in the office that you didn't plan to. The boy is always nice. Two of you are going for a date. Let us go for a date. Now you come to a point, you have fear of saying no. Fear can paralyze someone's heart desire. Fear can make you, all of you go to Hallmark to buy something, you escorted them, and everybody is buying. You say, I will not be afraid. Say, I will not be afraid. Fear can make you not go to church. Because you go to the church, the first day, everybody dressed in a certain way. The second day, everybody dressed in a certain way. You look at yourself, you say, I don't have this kind of dress. Without you knowing that some of the people who dress well is all cricket. Fear can make you come to church, you park your cars 2 miles away because all the people's cars are fine. You now use leg under the rain. Fear they beat you, you they go. Say, I will not be afraid. Am I talking to someone? Say, I will not be afraid. Say, I will not be afraid. I can't hear you. Say, I will not be afraid. Say, I will not be afraid. Say, I refuse to be paralyzed by fear. Fear can make you walk in shame. Fear can make you say, ah, see, Pastor K, as he they preach, signs and wonders finished. Look at it now. So-and-so has happened. She has not been able to. Then you now, because of fear, not do those things again. So you must watch yourself. You know what is right, want to do what is right, but somehow, some unknown fear can keep you from doing it. You know this thing is not right, but I'm afraid. Fear causes shortness of breath. Fear can make your heart to pound. So fear can even be physical. You feel fear to the point that not only do you urinate in your body, your breath will cease. You can have asthmatic attack because of fear. You're just as well saying, hey, your heart will be big, 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 big. And if you were almost on your road to heart attack, fear can make you have heart attack. Lift your hand and say, Father, I refuse to fear. Fear can make you sweat. Fear can make you sweat. Your entire hand, you're sweating. The air conditioner is on. You are sweating profusely because of fear. Fear can make you tremble. Fear can make you call your name, the name that you are not. All of you are in a room. They say, my dear, what is your name? Say, my name is Sim Froza. What is your name? What is your name? My name is Parankashima. What is your name? And your own name is Aladimma. They say, what is your name? You reason. Say, ah, if I call myself Aladimma, this one is Sim Froza. This one is Parankashima. You find one name that you don't know. Olukoshima Koroko Yakanka. You give your name that name. Lift your hand. Say, Father, deliver me from fear. Your two. Lift the two. Fear can make you plait hair that you didn't prepare for. Fear can make you take your wedding. Those of you who are not married yet. Fear. You go to Instagram. Say, for the gram. Fear can make you buy a wedding dress that you didn't prepare for. Fear can make you put your wedding, put it in a setting that you are not ready for fear. So if I put it here, then go say, who is this then go say? Let's go on. Fear can give you chest pain. So someone can commit suicide because of fear. Yeah. If you were raised in an abusive family, just know that fear is inside. I don't want to go into all of that. The next point. How many of you know that if you are fearful, you go to hell? Let's read the scripture together. Everybody want to go? Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the springs of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I'll be his God and he'll be my people. Verse 8. And immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. So the eye, when God take look liar, now he take look fearful person. Fear must be a serious thing. The eye he used to look at sorcerer is the same eye he used to look at someone who has allowed fear to take over his heart. Lift your hand and say, from today, I refuse to fear. Because once you are fearful, you must be doubtful. Anybody who is fearful, you must doubt. So we're going to look at some of the things that made some people to be afraid in the Bible. The devil has a suggestion box. The devil does not force anybody. The devil won't force you. He won't put a gun on your head. He won't tie something. So when you say the devil made me do it, he's a liar against the devil. So when something happens, you say he's a devil, the devil will stand at the court of heaven and start crying. Say they just lied against me. This one is I suggested, I didn't force them. The devil will not force, the devil at the court of heaven, they will start crying. Why are you crying? Pastor Charles just lied against me now. His suggestion I gave him, he's free to take, he's free to refuse. So let's find out what is happening. Satan's destructive process starts with contradictory suggestions. All the devil will do is what we're going to read now. In the Garden of Eden, he convinced Adam and Eve that they were missing out on something, and they accepted Satan's word. So let's look at what Adam and Eve. Now, serpent was made more crafty than any of the wild animals. Let's do Bible. Let's do Bible teaching. Where did Satan learn craftiness? Was he created a crafty animal? Of course, the Bible says when God finished creating everything, he said it was what? Talk to me. Say it was what? Did he say anything was bad? The only thing that he said is bad, say it's not good for you to be alone. It's not just talking about marriage and relationship, but it's talking about the social etiquettes. You need to relate with other people. That's a matter for another day. Where did serpent learn craftiness from? Does anybody have the answer? The moment you open your mind up to demonic suggestions and accept, you pick up the craftiness of the enemy. The serpent was as good as any other animal in the garden until the devil began to suggest. So I want you to watch out what suggestions that the devil is playing to you. The moment you accept, you become crafty. You become cunning. Now look at what he told him. He said to the woman, did God really say? That devil is very... Did he really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? Let's put it in today's word. Did God really say it? Are you sure? It may be a metaphor he's using. It may be using imagery. Did he really say that you should not eat any of the fruits in the garden? At that particular point in time, Eve began to doubt herself. She said, I thought I heard. Did I hear? Did he really say so? He may have said it, but he may not have really said it. Did God really say that you shouldn't sleep with your girlfriend? Did he really say it? After all, he knows that you're a human being, you're a young boy, body they hurt. Am I talking? Body they hurt. God knows your body they hurt. Especially this kind of weather. He knows say you go to catch cold. Did he really say it? He will understand. Did God really, did he really mean? Did he mean, he can say that he didn't mean it. Did he really say that he will heal you when you are sick? Did God really say that a Christian will be rich? Did God really say that Nigeria will be better? No, the devil wouldn't talk much. He just gives you one suggestion. You complete the rest. So what Eve did? Eve started looking at the garden. He saw beautiful mango fruits. He looked. He saw beautiful orange fruits. He looked. He saw beautiful apples, beautiful strawberry. He looked. Beautiful grapes, beautiful pineapple. And all of them were calling her. And then she started doubting. How can God look at all these fine things? I want you to notice. I'm going to show you what God actually said. And what the devil told Eve. Eve began to doubt herself. Listen, there are some things that happen in life. You will doubt yourself. Look at what God said. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may eat freely. You may freely eat of every tree of the garden. That's what God said. You may freely eat. That is, you are free to eat any of them. He says, but there is a tree that has two fruits. It has the knowledge of evil. It has the knowledge of good. It has the knowledge of blessing. It has the knowledge of calamity. It has the knowledge of health. Has the knowledge of sickness. Can we continue? It has the knowledge of wisdom. It has the knowledge of foolishness. That blend. He has the knowledge of poverty. It has the knowledge of wealth. He has a knowledge of grace. He has a knowledge of shame. is a fruit that has a blend of the two. Where did evil come from? Remember that in heaven there was no evil. The enemy had broken God's church. He divided the church into two. When he came down, that's why evil entered that garden. So this one, there are two things inside it. Adam, if you don't want to look like the devil, there was good. The Bible said there was good inside the devil until iniquity was found in him. Adam, if you don't eat this one, goodness will continue to be inside you. So that's what the devil does to us today. The same thing he said to Eve. Now look at what the devil said to him. Remember, you may freely eat. That's what she was told. But look at what the enemy said. Did God really say you must not eat from any of the tree? Do they sound alike? If you don't look closely, they sound alike. What God said is you may freely eat all, but only one. But what did the devil say? The devil said, did God really say you should not eat anyone at all? Friends, did God really say you should not touch any woman at all? God did not say that. God said you should touch only your wife. So the enemy gives you the suggestion that whatever it is that God has, whatever plan God has for you is not good enough. And he makes you to doubt God. The enemy will always make you feel that God is preventing you from enjoying the good things. Did God really say that you should not fear? Then the devil begins to show you why you should be afraid. How can God say you should not be afraid? He knows you're a human being. Then the other day, that other woman was going. She was mobbed. The other day, that other woman, when he gives you all these suggestions, what will happen? What will happen? What will happen? I can't hear you. What will happen? I can't hear you. What will happen? Fear will happen. God will always give you. So when God wants you to do something, he always tells you to do what you can do. Because he's not expecting you to do it by yourself. He's expecting himself to do it through you. So he tells you, open blind eyes. He tells you, make the lame to walk. He tells you, cleanse the leper. Am I talking to someone? Then he tells you, rule the world. Then he tells you, disciple the nations. Then he tells you, ask me, I will give you the world for an inheritance. Anything God ever tells you to do, he doesn't put you where you can do it. Because if you can do it without him, you don't need him. He puts it where you can't do it. All you will do is you always keep reaching out to him. What does the devil do? He brings down the standards. The devil tells you, you human being, heal the sick. You can't heal the sick. Oh. It's only God that can heal the sick. You human being, you can't be healed. Oh. Look at so-and-so person, he was sick. He died of that sickness. Look at so-and-so person, that one is even a pastor. Look at Susan Sopras. Look at that nation. They entered inside war, and then he will draw history. And then they will tell you, if you learn from history, you will repeat his errors. All the enemy does is to take everything God has given you to do, drops it to a standard, and then what does he want you to do? He wants you to come down from that place and come here. You know why? The devil is still angry with you over one thing. You want to know why? Everything he wants to be is what God made you. So forever he has not forgiven you. So every time he wants to bring you down from what you are supposed to be, everything you are, the Bible says you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's what the devil wanted to do. He said, I will exalt my chair. I will put it above the height of the throne of God. I will do this. I will be in charge. Everything the devil wished and dreamt that he will ever be. That's instead of God to kill him. And God said, I'm going to punish you. The best way I'm going to punish you is you're going to sit down. I'm going to take my son. I'm going to make him everything that you are supposed to be. And I will do it before you. So everything the devil does against you is to bring you down from your original standard. And for him to do that, he must throw fear. And the devil will tell you, listen, you can't move around the campus alone. No, you can't just, you have to join some kind of cult. If you join some kind of cult, he gives you the idea that if you join the cult, you become a big boy. Meanwhile, if you join the cult, you reduce yourself. He gives you the idea that if you join the cult, you'll be protected. Meanwhile, behind that idea that if you join the cult, you'll be killed. So everything the devil does, any suggestion the enemy does ever gives you, just flip it. If the devil tells you you will die, flip it. You have a thought, you say, you see this surgery, you will die. Just flip it. Once you flip it, you will get it right. Anything you are afraid of, flip it. You are afraid of sickness, flip it. You are afraid you won't marry, just the moment you turn it around, you get the right answer. The devil will take the same thing God has promised you and turn it around. The Bible says that you will live out your full old age. The enemy will come and tell you that one is a lie. The devil would, God will tell you, God will tell you you will live out your full old age. The enemy will come and tell you that one is a lie. God will tell you, with long life will I satisfy you. The enemy will tell you that one is a lie. God will tell you, I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. The enemy will tell you that is a lie. All the enemy does is a mind play. Everybody lift your hand and say, from today, I refuse to believe the enemy. Shout it very loud. The root of all fear is misconception of God's promises. If the enemy can succeed, the devil, I don't want to say the devil is very patient. If the devil means one person, he will stay with that person until he gets it done. So he comes to Job. He stays with Job until he sufficiently put fear inside Job. The moment the fear entered inside Job, he walks away. Once the devil puts fear inside you, he doesn't have any other business with you. You will automatically behave according to the fear. If every night while you are dreaming, a monster comes to pursue you this night, you wake up, you say, hey, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And then the next night you sleep. This night now, masquerade from Calabar is pursuing you. You jump up again. You say, the blood, and as you jump up, you're sweating. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. You are saying the blood of Jesus. You know you're afraid. You are not really saying the blood of Jesus. What you're saying is, I'm dying here. God save me. The third day, the enemy comes again. This one is not masquerade. This one, as you dream, you're just walking on the road, you're on the road, and a lion just comes. You jump up. The blood of Jesus. By the fifth night, your toe starts paining you. Your mind will go, ha, is that dream? That dream is about to happen. And before you know it, from your mind, that toe will begin to swell. You say, I talk him. Now that dream. Now since when I dreamed that dream, now this my toe start to swell. The enemy knows he doesn't have power to touch you without your permission. So if there is something that runs in the blood of your father or your mother, the enemy will bring that thing as a weapon and touch you with it. If your father had a bad marriage, and then you find out that, hey, it looks as if you're having a bad marriage, the suggestion, the powerful suggestion of the enemy will come and say, okay, you see, you are just simply living out your father's life. It's just a simple, subtle suggestion. You know the problem with the devil's suggestion? He won't say, hey, 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 hey. No. He will say it very, say, like I'm waiting to my papa, won't happen to me. So he goes away. 2 hours later, he comes. Now, and do you know the bad thing about the devil? It will sound like your mind. It will be difficult for you to differentiate that this one is not your mind. And then your birthday is coming. And this is going to be your 30th birthday. You are getting ready to celebrate this birthday. You are really getting ready to celebrate this birthday. While you are getting ready, you want to take some photo shots to just even celebrate yourself. As you just lie down alone, something just says, look at you inside this one room. No husband. No children. No boyfriend. The morale you are going to use to celebrate the birthday, everything will fall on the floor. Am I still your friend? It even starts getting worse when Valentine's Day is coming. And then everybody are writing on Instagram, some of them are lying. Oh, my dream lover. Oh. You are looking at it. At this point, you are looking at Instagram instead of looking at the Word of God. What did the Bible say about our daughters? It said our daughters shall be like the pillars, the corner pillars in the palace of the king. The enemy will not make you read. All Bible verses will disappear. You will start seeing your friends. And that day, you decide, okay, let me even post my picture. You take your picture and post, and nobody will like it. No share, no like, not even wishing of happy birthday. As you just come to lie down, that same person who spoke to you, who is not your mind, is not you that is thinking. It is the enemy that is puncturing your thoughts with his own thoughts. Say, did I not tell you that marriage is far? Not even one like in the whole of Femme Foundation. Nobody even come. It's not even mama and papa. You need special deliverance. So then he will remind you, by this time last year, you posted your picture. It was your ex-boyfriend that even came to like it. Am I talking to you? All he does is he uses lies to build cases against you so that he can make you not believe the word of God. What should you do tonight? What should you do? What should you do tonight? We must begin to learn to do something. Listen, God, you see God? Whenever I pray, there's something I tell God. I say, there's nobody that answers God but God. That's how I refer to him. I say, look around the world. There's nobody that answers God but God. Whenever you ask God something, don't ask in fear. He might not do it today. He might not do it tomorrow. But surely, he will get that thing done. Inasmuch as the devil threw Adam and Eve out of the garden, when Jesus came, he returned everybody back to the Garden of Eden. The devil may throw one stone at you. That is not the last card. It is always God that has the last card. The devil doesn't have the last say in your life. That it didn't happen yesterday does not mean it's never going to happen again. It may be a misbehaving child. It may be a misbehaving nation. There is something I want you to do. I want you to have this confidence that the person you are following will never give up on you. He won't give up on you. I tell young girls every day, and I will keep saying it. If I can marry, anybody in this world can marry. And I will tell you why. I will tell you why. Let's look at this version of the Bible. You jealously want what others have. So you begin to see yourself as better than others. This is why we ask in fear. You scheme with envy and harm others to selfishly obtain what you crave. That's why we quarrel and fight. You see, if you think you can do it by yourself, no need for you to ask God. If you can scheme to get it, no need to ask God. If you can quarrel and fight to get it, if you can hit people's head to get it, no need to ask God. And you know something about those blessings? They don't last. And all the time, and if you ask, you won't receive it, for you are asking with corrupt motives, seeking only to fulfill your own selfish desires. Someone told me, I want to marry. I said, why do you want to marry? He said, which kind of question be that? I said, so that we know how to pray. He said, Mama, no expect me you ask me that kind of question. I said, just answer. He said, one, all my friends are married. I said, that's not a reason to marry. He said, no reason, no, no reason. I said, why do you want to marry? He said, all my friends, once all my friends are married, it means that the time for me to marry. Listen, do you know that everybody has a calendar? Do you know that everybody has a timing? I have discovered that if you set your time with my own wristwatch, it's not the same time. I will explain it to you. Sometimes I like to set my time 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes ahead of schedule. I like to set my time like that. I like to put an alarm that will ring 30 minutes ahead of time. So if you see me running 30 minutes ahead of time, it doesn't mean my time has come. It might just simply mean that I'm getting ready. I will sometimes go off the internet, because sometimes it's the problems that we have. Your friend that you might even be better than the person, he will dress very well and go to a proper studio. They will use Photoshop and clean up the person, and the person will take makeup. They can make the person up. The person will look 4 years younger. Then the person will post on the and take picture and put on the internet. And all of us are writing, beautiful girl, queen of the coast, queen of the animals. The fact about it is, the person might not be better than you. These things cause fear. You feel that they have gone ahead of you because of picture. You feel that their own life is so much better. Someone told me a story that I can never forget. He said, we were talking on the phone. He said, Pastor, okay, waiting I see for internet. Yes, I said, what happened? He said, calm down, I gist you. She has a friend that she and her husband have fought. The husband threw her out of the house. And then, by some kind of arrangement, they came back. In fact, they were still quarreling where she's looking for, say, I made the mistake of my life. And the next time, she saw her take picture on the phone and put on the internet and started describing. Another friend called this one and was crying. Say, oh, my own life no good at all. My husband, in fact, the other one was wailing. He said, calm down. She couldn't tell her that the picture is by faith. What she's saying is by faith. Yes, she's being prophetic. What she is complaining about that her husband is doing, how I wish life could make them swap. If they swap, this other woman will share it as testimony. But this other woman is, when I say she's been prophetic, she took different pictures and began to describe. These are pictures they took years back where she and her husband are kissing, and they have not touched themselves in months. The other person wanted to die because of it. For the gram. Many of us here, you have internet, Instagram life, which is different from your life on record time. I'm praying for you. The day your followers meet you, may they not... Let's close. What should you do to eliminate fear? I want you to settle in your heart that God loves you. Settle in your heart. God loves you. Say, God loves me. Let's read together. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. Oh God. He sent his son so that we might live. You know what that means? He sent his son for what purpose? So that the life I live is inside Jesus. If you want to kill me, it means you have to kill Jesus to bring me out. That's why you should never fear that witches will kill you. For them to be able to kill you, they have to first of all kill Jesus, open Jesus up, pull you out before they kill you. Am I talking to you? When you dream those dreams, when the enemy comes to tell you in the dream, I'm going to kill you, it's not true. It's the same thing he said to Eve. He can't do it until he has murdered Jesus, do surgery on him. Then he can pull Shola out to kill Shola. As long as he can't do that, he can't kill you. If you want to know how much God loves you, look at the cross. I say it every day. Heaven went bankrupt for God to say to me, Katharina, I love you. You know, sometimes when husbands want to show their wives love, they will buy a car, they will buy an aeroplane, they will buy the house, they will buy shawarma, they will buy chewing gum. When God wanted to show you I love you, he died. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loves us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they have done to our relationship with God. Settle this matter. I'm not asking if you love God. God will protect you because he loves you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? 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 Why should I not fear any evil? You must renew your mind with the fact he loves me. And if he loves me, he will do anything for me. If a human being can do anything for the wife, God can do anything for you. Settle it in your mind. I'm not saying you love God. I say he loves you. And anything you love, you protect. Anything you love, you go the extra mile to make sure the thing is okay. Jerry loves his wife. Jerry the keyboardist, he loves his wife. So he goes the extra mile. When his wife, if you watch, whenever Jerry's wife is playing, Jerry is looking at her to make sure there's no mistake. If Jerry, who is a human being that can do that to his wife, what about God? So each time you're going on the road, he's watching you to make sure that you don't get hurt. Hey, he said, I will give up. I will give up nations for your ransom. That's what your father said about you. He loves you. Say he loves me. In spite of my misbehavior, say he loves me. Say he loves me. Say he loves me. The Bible says he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Something as simple as dashing your feet against a stone. He doesn't want you to dash your feet against a stone. So he will send angels to make sure that your feet does not dash against. That's how much love he loves for you. Now, if he will protect you from hitting your leg against a stone, will he not protect you from death? Talk to me. Will he know? Now, you're going on the road. Listen, each time you're going on the road and you hit your leg against a stone, ask the angels, where were you when this happened? Because it's their job to make sure that that doesn't happen. If he can protect you from stone, what about life? Say, God loves me. Say, God loves me. Say, God loves me. I can't hear you. Say, God loves me. He said, this is how we know we are living steadily and deeply in him and he in us. Look at the proof. He's giving us life from his life, from his own very spirit. In other words, you don't have a life. He took his life and gave you. So if you want to kill me, what will you do? Talk to me. You don't have a life. Your life was destroyed when Adam left the garden. So the life you have now is not your life. He took his life and say, oh my God. Cynthia, you see this life? It's not your life. It's my life, but you live it. So if the enemy wants to destroy your life, he has to go to God and ask him for permission to touch your life. Because the life you have is not your own. Even sickness and disease have been told not to touch you. Wow. Am I talking to someone? Do you know where fear comes? Uncertainty of the future. I have today, will I have tomorrow? Will my future be good? How will tomorrow look like? I don't know. You can know. He gave you the Holy Spirit. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth. You can't be a Christian. They ask you, how will tomorrow be like? You say, we don't know. We don't know. By the grace of God, we are looking at God's face. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He will show you where to invest. He will show you when to invest. He will show you when not to invest. The Holy Spirit. Even when you make a mistake in life and you are a sincere person, he will take you out. One day I was going on this road. The road was bad. When we got to the end of the road, the people with me in the car told me, don't enter. I said, I must enter. The spirit inside me said, don't enter. I defied everybody. Defied within. The moment I entered, the car was hanging between heaven and earth. It was hanging between two opinions. The people beside me said, did we not tell you not to enter? I just told myself, God, I'm sorry that I made me mistake, but I know that even in this mistake, you will deliver me. Two men just came out. I said, ah, mama. You know what they did? They guided that car until I came out of that trouble. Don't make a mistake and just say, oh, my life is finished. Even when you make a mistake, run back to him. Say, yes, I made a mistake. Lord, I'm sorry. Run back to him. Don't run far. Because the only thing Holy Spirit is doing on earth is you. The moment you leave this earth, the Holy Spirit will not be taken out of this earth except you get out of this earth. You are that important. So your future is secured because your life is in him. And if you want to know how the future should be, pray in tongues every day. You will have supernatural intelligence. You will have spiritual intelligence about matters. You will begin to download matters from above. In every area of life, whom should I marry? Ask him. If there are questions about life you don't understand, ask headquarters. How should I go about this? And then don't tell him the answer. Listen, do you know that God lives on earth? He rules in the affairs of men. You are going to the hospital. God, is it the doctor that should treat me? He will tell you. He knows the doctor that will treat you, you will come out. He knows the doctor that will treat you, you won't come out. God is it, even in those areas, let him show you the doctor that you should go for him to treat you. Don't just run to any doctor. Is that important? The chemist to buy drugs from, let him show you. Don't just live your life from here. Live from inside out. And how do you get out of fear? Plant the word of God in your heart. The word of God is a seed. The word of God contains prosperity. The word of God contains life. Let me tell you how to run away from fear. Read the Bible every day. Every day, read the Bible. You don't need to read 10 chapters. Just take a verse. Turn it in your heart. Turn it in your heart. Turn it in your heart. You know what you're doing? You are planting seeds of faith. And eventually, it will start coming out from your ears, from your eyes, from every part of you. If you keep putting the word of God in your heart. Every day, drop the word. Every day, drop the word. Every day, drop the word. In another 3 months, come back. You will see that your life is no more the same. The way you reason will change. The way you see life will change. The way you react to issues will change. Something will change about you because the word of God is a seed. The word is not a powerless seed. The word of God is a powerful seed. And everywhere you drop the word, there will be transformation. And lastly, my friends, live by faith. Live by faith. How should you live? Hear and obey. How many of you want to obey the word of God? You begin by reading it. How many of you want to be delivered from fear? The word. It's the word that created this world. Let me say this as a closing remark. People who don't go to church. Majority of people who don't go to church. If they want to do things, they go and consult. You know what they consult? To know where to invest. I had a classmate who was sharing a story with us. He joined cult. Whenever he's going to leave the house, he will consult to say, is today a dangerous day or today a good day? And while we're talking to him, he said, this thing you are asking, Juju, the Holy Spirit can tell you. This thing you're asking, Juju, the Holy Spirit can tell you. Listen, everybody here, the Holy Spirit can tell you. If you should leave the house today or not, he should tell you. And so he said, that the reason why I joined, they say if you join, you have protection, you have brotherhood, I said, these things you are looking for, the devil will always offer you counterfeits of what God has promised you. God has promised you joy. The devil will give you happiness. For you to get that happiness, you will go through hell just to be happy a little bit. So you may need to take a little bit of drugs. and take a little bit of alcohol, and take a little bit of, and then take, do a little bit of wild sex, and do a little bit of adventure. All of them is to destroy your body. But for God, you don't need to do all of that. Just put the word of God. I don't know if you have noticed it. Any day you wake up and you pray, you come out very happy. Does it happen to you? Does it happen to you? Any day you wake up, you read the Bible, you come out, you're very happy. People, yes. They, I don't know how it happens. Does it happen to you? It happens to me. And I've also noticed in my own life that any day I wake up, I pray. Any day I wake up, whether it's prayer or I read the Bible, I come out, I'm more efficient. It happens to me. I noticed that any day I wake up, I did my homework, that is, I prayed, I come out, I react differently. The things that used to, first of all, you have some kind of confidence. The things that normally will irritate me will not irritate me. There are some things someone will say, usually it will irritate me. So I watch my life. If I start getting very irritable, I know that my presence tank is going down. I need to go back and fill up. Praise the Lord. I'm done. I want to take one or two questions before we take the communion. One or two questions. And I find myself here on my knees again. Any question? Caught up in grace like an avalanche. Nothing compares to this love, love, love burning in my heart. Any question? Okay. Is anybody dealing with the spirit of fear in the house this morning? Anybody dealing with fear? Okay. So is it okay if we pray for you? Okay. Any other person dealing with fear? Okay. So those of you dealing with fear, just stand up. Let's pray for you. Any person dealing with fear? Okay. Go with me. Say, Father, today I declare that you have given me the spirit of power. You have given me the spirit of boldness. You have given me the spirit of love. I hereby declare I trust in you. Lord, I ask you to deal with the root of fear for me in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of fear dealing with my heart, every spirit of fear dealing with my mind, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to show me the reason why the fear is in my heart. Lord God, unveil to me the root of fear, how the fear came into my heart, in the name of Jesus. Lord my God, today I take that root of fear to your courts in heaven. In the name of Jesus, I judge the spirit of fear. I judge the spirit of unbelief. Father, in the name of Jesus, I close the door of fear. Now, I want you to open your mouth and then address this. Fear is a spirit. I'd like you to address it. You spirit of fear of, I address you. I bind you hands and foot. And I command you out of my heart and out of my life. Address the spirit of fear with your mouth. You spirit of fear, today, Lord, I forgive anybody that became a reason for that spirit to be there. I forgive any human being that opened the door for the spirit of fear. I forgive myself where I am responsible for the spirit of fear to be in my heart. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, today I reject the spirit of fear In the name of Jesus, I reject the spirit of fear. I come against the root of fear. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare, fear, get out of my heart. Fear, get out of my mind. Fear, get out of my spirit. In the name of Jesus, I will not be afraid. I just seem to see this person who is, your fear is, I might just be living out the life. Either my mother or my father, I might just, their experiences, I might just be repeating it. I might just be a channel to repeat it. I might just be a channel. Where you are, can you just raise your hand? We just curse that spirit. We just curse that spirit in your life in the name of Jesus. We just curse it and we declare that it has no place in your life. It has no place in your heart. In the name of Jesus, we render it ineffective and we declare that it will not see the light of the day. In the name of Jesus. There is also this fear that has to do, it looks as if it's some of the things, some of the seeds of yesterday that is showing up today. It looks as if it is some of the seeds. Someone's fear is in that way, is in that direction. If you don't mind, if you raise your hand, we just, so in the name of Jesus, we take authority over that lying spirit. We come against it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we command for a crop failure to happen. In the name of Jesus, we declare something that has to do with crop failure to happen in your life and your spirit and your soul. We completely declare, body, soul, and spirit, you are free. In the name of Jesus, we release you from the soul. We release your soul from the spirit of death. In the mighty name of Jesus, we release your soul. That tying, that binding in your soul, we free your soul from the spirit of death. In the name of Jesus, I now come against the spirit, the fear of failure in this assembly. I come against the fear of failure, fear that my future might not turn out well. I come against you in the name of Jesus. I arrest you by the blood of Jesus. I arrest you by the word of our testimony. We break the power of fear over your life. We break, can you say amen, please? We break the power of fear over this assembly in the precious name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.